Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application for our daily walk of faith is taken from the Gospel of John. We'll read from chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him everything was made, and without him not one thing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as an eyewitness to testify about the light, so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. As you probably observed when you walked into church today, and as I mentioned with the children in the children's sermon, last Sunday we put up our Christmas tree and our Christmas decorations here at church. And as you can see, it looks very beautiful. Thank you to all of you who helped with the decorations. I'm guessing many of you also probably put your Christmas decorations up this past week or last weekend, maybe even got your Christmas tree up. We did both at our house. I think we're done with all the Christmas decorations. The beautiful trees, the warm glow of the lights, and the beautiful decorations are a favorite part of many people's Christmas traditions. But beyond being beautiful and enjoyable to look at, do we always remember or realize that a number of familiar Christmas decorations were actually intended to have a deeper symbolic meaning? To point our hearts and minds toward some important spiritual truth, especially toward Jesus and the salvation he came to bring us at Christmas. So for this second Sunday in Advent, we'll be taking a look at another Christmas tradition, this time the tradition of decorations. And we'll remind ourselves of some of the spiritual meanings behind some of the most familiar Advent and Christmas decorations. We'll start with the Advent wreath, one of the most prominent decorations in our church. It is one of the most prominent and probably the most familiar decoration of the Advent season. It's, of course, the Advent wreath. You see it displayed not just in the front of our church, but many churches have an Advent wreath displayed during this time of year. Many of you in your homes probably have an Advent wreath as well. Bulletins during this time of year, I usually try to, at least at some point during the Advent and Christmas season, put an explanation of the Advent wreath. What's its symbol? What is the symbolism behind it? And I'll share with you some of what I usually do put in the bulletin at some point during the Advent season. It says this: the Advent wreath is rich in symbolism, and as such it aids our worship as it reinforces our hope in the ultimate coming of our Lord. The wreath is covered with evergreen. Just as this species of tree is always green, so our hope for eternity is always alive because it rests upon the living Christ. The wreath is also in the form of a circle, which has no beginning and no end. What better way to picture that life with our God is everlasting? The lighted candles are symbolic of the light of Christ and his gospel, which alone can lift us out of our sin and spiritual darkness. The four Advent candles remind us of the 4,000 years of waiting for Christ by the Old Testament world. And the three purple candles are the color for repentance. The rose or the pink candle is the candle for joy. Each of the four candles has been assigned a special name with special significance. And if you look up the names and symbols of the Advent candles, you'll probably find at least two for each candle. And I'll share a little bit of the meanings behind the candles with you and kind of touch on both for each candle. Most commonly in the modern era, you'll probably find that the first candle is referred to as the hope candle, reminding us of the hope that we have in Christ. This candle is also referred to as the prophecy candle. The prophets of the Old Testament spoke of the coming of Jesus, how the Savior would be born a king in the line of David. They spoke of what he would be, how he would rule the world, bless all nations, comfort the lost, heal the sick, and of course also suffer for our sins. We, like the Old Testament believers, wait for the Lord's coming in hope, as we hope in him and his word, with the sure and certain hope, the joyful expectation of the fulfillment of God's promises. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 7 says, "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption." The second candle of Advent is the candle of peace. And you'll notice we have two candles lit because today is the second Sunday in Advent. So today's candle is the candle of peace, also sometimes called the Bethlehem candle, to remind us of the place where Jesus was born. This prophecy from Micah 5:2 foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And that may seem like a minor revelation from God, but it actually shows how God prepared even the least and smallest detail for the coming of Christ. Peace is a gift that God gives us through the reconciliation he made made with the world through his only begotten Son, Jesus. That peace is made ours, given to you and me through faith. The prophet Isaiah called Jesus the Prince of Peace in our reading from today. Through the Apostle Paul, we hear how God made peace possible for us. Romans 5, 1 and 2. "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." The third candle of Advent stands out because it is the pink or the rose-colored candle. It is the candle of joy. It reminds us of the joy that Mary felt when the angel Gabriel told her that a special child would be born to her, a child who would save and deliver his people. This candle is also referred to sometimes as the shepherd candle. The angels announced to the shepherds that Jesus was born. They went and spread the joy they felt. The angel said this to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The shepherds, filled with joy, went to see the Savior, and then they spread that joyous news far and wide. When we light that third candle, the pink candle, and the Advent wreath, we remember that Jesus is the bringer of everlasting joy. God wants us all to have that joy, and the lighting of that candle reminds us then to spread that joy far and wide, just like the shepherds. The fourth candle of Advent is the angel's candle, or the candle of love. Its light is meant to remind us of the love that God has for us. Jesus shows us God's perfect love. Jesus is God's love toward us in human form. 1 John 4 says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And we don't have the white candle up yet, but in our Advent wreath, we put a white candle on the altar. But in many Advent wreaths, you'll see a white candle in the center. That candle is called the Christ candle. It's usually lit on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. It signals that Jesus, the light of the world, has been born. And as our text tells us from John chapter 1, the real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. We'll talk a little bit more about that light later on in our sermon. The second decoration we'll touch on today is the Christmas tree, probably the most familiar of all Christmas decorations. But do we always realize the symbolism behind the Christmas tree? And are you aware of the modern day origins of Christmas trees? Well, if you were to do some research on it, you'd come up with a few conflicting reports, and there is no maybe consensus to where the modern day idea of the Christmas tree with its lights and ornaments comes from. But many people will tell you that its origins actually are attributed to Martin Luther. Most Christmas trees like we see them today, when we see them showing up in history, were around the time of the Reformation in Germany. Even Wikipedia states, the 16th century origins of the modern Christmas tree are sometimes associated with Protestant Christian reformer Martin Luther, who is said to have first added lighted candles to an evergreen tree. Luther was many things. He was not a fireman or a fire marshal, so he put candles on the tree to light the tree and make it look pretty and to remind us of the light of Christ. But did you ever wonder why the pine tree or the evergreen trees were chosen as opposed to maybe a maple or an oak tree, for example? You probably know, and it's very similar to the reason why we use an Advent wreath with evergreen. It's the same type of symbol, the eternal life that we have in the living Christ. But did you also know that this symbolism is also found in the Bible? In Hosea 14, verse 8, God compares himself to an evergreen tree. He says this, O Ephraim, which is one of the tribes of Israel, what have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit. Some have even found some symbolism in the triangle shape of the Christmas tree, and maybe that reminds them of the Trinity. When we think of a tree, however, we also think of another very important reason Jesus was born at Christmas. He was born to die on the tree of the cross, to save us from our sins. In fact, I've known people and known of churches where if they have a live Christmas tree, when it's time to throw it out and put it away, they will trim it down to the shape of a cross and leave it up for one more Sunday or leave it up in their house for one more day before they throw the tree out to remind them of the reason for Christmas. Jesus came to this earth literally to die on the cross. Referring to the tree of the cross, the Bible tells us, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Finally, we come to the third decoration we will look at today, and that is the lights. Would you agree with me? Lights are probably the best part of Christmas decorations. I was struggling with which one's the best. Is it the Christmas tree? Is it the wreath? Is it the lights? But then I thought, people don't line up usually to see unlit wreaths and unlit Christmas trees, but they go to see lights. Light displays are popular and they are everywhere. One of my favorite things to do during the Christmas season is just to sit in the living room and bask in the glow of the warm lights of the Christmas tree. Well, the symbolism there is obvious. It's been mentioned a couple of times already in our service today. Isaiah mentioned it in our sermon text. John mentions it in our scripture reading. John mentions it in our sermon text multiple times. The lights of Christmas are meant to remind us of the great light that came to shine in this dark world of sin and unbelief. In him, in Jesus, John tells us in our text, was life, and that life was the light of mankind. The light is shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The real light that shines on everyone was coming into the world. So when you see decorations here in church, in your home, and about town this Christmas season, let's not just think, oh, how beautiful. Let's be reminded of the evergreen of God's everlasting love for us and the everlasting life he's given us in sending his son Jesus. When we see the beautiful Christmas trees, let's not forget that the reason Jesus came to this earth, the reason we can truly celebrate his birth, is because of his death on the tree of the cross, where he paid for all of our sins. And when we see those beautiful Christmas lights, let's think of Jesus, the light of the world, the light of life. And let's be like John the Baptist, which our text mentions, came as a witness to testify about the light so that everyone would believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. Live in that light of Jesus. Reflect his light in your life and share that life-giving light with others. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.